Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday, March 27th, 8:40 Central Time. That means it is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Friday and happy Creation Club time. I'm looking forward to talking with you today. How are you doing this morning?
Doing fine, thanks.
Good, good. What do you have for us this week in Creation Club?
Well, I'd like to talk about something that some of our listeners may have seen in the news, either online or in newspapers. In the last few weeks, there's been a lot of hype about a new fossil that was found. It's a 9-foot-long Triassic crocodile that was found, and they name it Carnufex, from the Latin word for butcher. Where was it found? Well, it was found in North Carolina's Carnian-Pecan Formation, an upper Triassic sedimentary rock layer, which is conventionally dated by evolution-believing people at 231 million years ago. And according to the way it is depicted by the evolutionists and in the articles, it's a big, bad-looking dinosaur reared up on its hind legs, with a long snout, sharp teeth, and ornamented skull that give it the impression that it was ready to do battle should T-Rex appear. This specimen is much larger than any known North American Triassic theropod. Theropod has to do with these dinosaurs that would walk on their hind legs. We can only guess at how long it could have been as an adult. It was estimated to be immature, and its femur length was estimated to be 440 millimeters. And so it would, and according to the news report, it would have been the largest terrestrial predator in the Pecan Formation, vastly exceeding the body size of the earliest North American theropod dinosaurs, which came in at 265 millimeters. Now, that's a very impressive thing to see, and the way they depict it, and they talk about it like they know exactly what it was eating and how it was behaving and all these wonderful things. But you always have to say, what did they actually find? And that's very remarkable, because the artistic rendering looks very impressive, mm-hmm. and so forth. But what did they actually find? Well, the specimen consists of several pieces of the skull, several teeth, some ribs and vertebrae, and parts of the front legs. Most of the preserved skull bones were bumpy and wrinkled, much more so than in smaller crocodiles of similar presumed evolutionary age, so the team concludes the skull was heavily ornamented. The teeth are long, serrated, and blade-like. After filling in the many missing skull bones based on animals believed to be related to Carnuflex, Zano's team described the snout as being particularly long and slender and, of course, quite lethal. And here's a quotation from the researcher. The fossils of Carnuflex were discovered around a decade ago and were stored unprepared in the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences collections until we started working on the specimen in 2012. This is the only known specimen of this new animal. Now, answers in Genesis comments, crocodiles are the largest living reptiles, and some modern species can reach about 20 feet in length. There are large crocodiles preserved in much higher strata of the fossil record, such as the 25-foot-long Crocodilus. Boy, it's a mouthful. I've been butchered trying to say the name. It looks like alphabet soup. But it was found in Pliocene and Pleistocene sediment in East Africa. However, the deepest, and in the evolutionary view, therefore the oldest, most primitive crocodiles in the fossil record tend to be smaller. Thus, a 9-foot crocodile this deep in the fossil record is quite a find. But let's just stop for a minute and back up and realize something here. So we have this very convincing picture that most people are going to remember. They're not going to read all the words of the article. They're not going to ask the hard question and say, well, what's that picture based upon? You know, was somebody there to, mm-hmm. you know, draw this live-in person? Did it pose for an artist to draw the picture? You know, they believe that scientists know that's what it looks like. Well, as a matter of fact, they only found pieces of a skull, some teeth, some ribs, some vertebrae, and parts of the front legs. Now, this is important. If you didn't even find the back part of the animal,
you've only got the front half.
You didn't find hips mm-hmm. or the back legs, and so they were estimating how big the femur would be, but they don't even have a femur. And so this is very much speculation, a whole lot of people's imagination, and based on a smaller, much smaller amount of actual fossil evidence. So was it truly bipedal? We don't know. Was it transitional? There's really nothing there to say that it was. Was it really, with the teeth, you'd say, okay, it looks like it was carnivorous, so you can take that seriously. And that doesn't surprise us because, you know, alligators and crocodiles and T-Rexes, we believe, and well, we know what still exists, and we believe they also existed in the past based on fossil evidence. But we also believe it fits very nicely with what the Bible teaches about creation and the flood of Noah's day. I read several articles, but the one that I think does a good job of responding to it is found at the Answers in Genesis website, answersingenesis.org, an article by Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell, and the title of the article, The Butcher, Crocodile, and the Bible. So she goes through this very carefully and examines what did they really find and what's speculation and what's known, and how does the evolutionary view of this compare with a biblical view of this. So a biblical view of this would be to say, you know, when you get down to the end of this, it appears that this is not a poster predator for the Triassic world 231 million years ago. It doesn't show transition from one kind of creature to another. It seems to be of the crocodile kind, and we don't know whether it was really bipedal or not. Maybe it was, but we don't know that because they didn't find the hips and the back legs at all, or any of the back portion of the organism. There are no other known specimens of this, so you aren't really comparing it to something else and say, well, we can put all the pieces together. You just found these pieces and come up with an elaborate story. And it really, if you strip away all the evolutionary presuppositions, it makes sense that it's a variety of crocodile, and within the created kind of crocodiles, and there can be variation within a kind, we know that. It's still the way it is today. Things reproduce after their own kind, but there can be varieties within the created kind. And so what we see is what we would expect to see in the fossil record in light of biblical history. And we see that it was preserved in sedimentary rock. Well, guess what? That means there was waterborne sediment that buried this creature, just as the vast, vast majority of fossils are that way, which ties in very well with what the Bible tells about the great flood of Noah's day, where you would have violent, catastrophic floodwaters carrying vast amounts of mud and sediment and rapidly burying lots and lots and lots of different kinds of animals. And that's what we actually find in the fossil record. And it matches what the Bible says. There's no evidence of evolution from one kind of creature to another kind of creature. And when we find these animals and you talk about this layer and this layer, you know, that doesn't really represent millions and millions of years of the buildup of deposit. What it really represents is the order in which things got buried as the floodwaters came upon the earth. And so rather than believing all this unverifiable millions and billions of years stuff and the unprovable and unverifiable molecules to man evolution, what we have here is not something that should threaten Christians at all. You look at this and you say, well, okay, you have a few pieces of a skull and some teeth and some vertebrae and some ribs and some pieces of the forelimbs of this animal. You don't have the hips. You don't have the back legs. And so you really don't know all this stuff. And it really, it wouldn't matter, even if it would be a bipedal reptilian creature. Well, we know that there were T-Rexes and other, you know, theropod dinosaurs that did walk on their hind legs. So that by itself is not a surprising find or anything threatening. It all fits neatly into what the Bible says. You don't have to believe all this stuff about millions and billions of years and the whole evolutionary tale. And, you know, when you read through the whole article, also the original article with the research by Dr. Lindsay Zano, you know, she builds into every paragraph the evolutionary religion and the evolutionary dogma. You know, so, you know, we talk about it wasn't until we deciphered the story behind Carnuflex that it became clear that the early crocodile ancestors were among those vying for the top predator roles prior to the reign of the dinosaurs in North America. You can tell a very convincing story, but did you get those key words? We deciphered the story behind it, which means you looked at these bones and you used your imaginations very actively and vividly. You know, it's not that they know all these other things that they are claiming to know. In fact, she also talks about the dogma that, okay, that the theropod dinosaurs still exist today as birds. And again, there is not scientific evidence for that at all. That is a faith belief system of people who want to believe that, and yet not even all evolutionists believe it, but those who do believe it have been very successful in trumpeting that point of view. So you'll see that in textbooks and museums and TV shows that birds are dinosaurs, that they're the living relatives of the dinosaurs, and that dinosaurs turned into birds, even though there is no evidence that they did or that they even could. Because once again, what's missing from all of this? First of all, there's not the fossil evidence to show the transition from this to this to this. But also, when we examine scientifically how things reproduce and how information gets passed on from generation to generation, we realize that you don't have a mechanism in nature that anybody's been able to find to upgrade the information in the DNA so this kind could become another kind, so this could transition to this, so that reptilian scales could suddenly or even gradually become avian feathers and so on and so forth. You know, and so people take this stuff on faith because scientists say they believe it even when the evidence is not there. And I wanted to call to our readers, our listeners' attention this particular story, because here's another example where they have a very elaborate story claiming to know much more than they can possibly really know. And the artist's picture is so convincing when you see that. And every child and adult who sees this focuses on the picture and remembers the picture more than taking the time to read the article and think through the article. And so then, so what's this actually based upon? You know, fragments of a skull, some teeth, some vertebrae, some ribs, and some parts of the front legs of this creature, and they make this elaborate picture and elaborate story with very little hard information, which is typical. That's very, very, very typical of the way the evolutionists work. And I would say, you know, it's deceptive. When you go to museums and they show you things, you know, you have to be skeptical and say, what is this actually based on? What real fossils do they have? What stuff are they filling in with their imagination? When you have an artist's rendering of what this dinosaur looked like, well, you know, you didn't have the skin and everything else on it. So how much of this is legit and how much of this is way off just based on somebody's imagination? Which today, a lot of museums have started putting feathers on dinosaurs, and there is zero evidence for that. You know, it's totally, you know, wishful thinking. So, we need to have a healthy skepticism of this stuff. You know, are there actual fossils? Yes, there are. And is that evidence of past living creatures? Yes, we don't disagree with that. The vast dates of hundreds and millions of years, that's bogus, and that's another day's topic to talk about. Because a lot of times, basically, they date the fossils by the rocks they find them in, and they date the rocks by the kinds of fossils they find in them. So it's circular reasoning. And the so-called scientific methods of dating, like radiometric dating and so on, have been shown to be less than accurate. But that's another day's topic where we could go into those details, or our listeners can go to answersingenesis.org, and there are all kinds of articles that explain these things, and also books and DVDs available so that you can learn more about it yourself and teach it to your kids and in your schools and churches. You know, we should make use of these wonderful resources. You know, speaking of resources, I'm going to plug one here that ties into this. We've plugged this before. Dr. Carl Werner is a medical doctor in the St. Louis area who for 30 years went with his wife all over the world taking photographs of and making videos and interviewing scientists and researchers, archaeologists, paleontologists, and he's written some books and he's got some DVDs that are absolutely wonderful. I recommend all our churches and schools get these and have them in their library and show them to their adults and young people, because he originally believed in evolution, but that once he started seeing all this stuff, he realizes evolution doesn't cut it. And so, like in his book Living Fossils, Evolution, the Grand Experiment, Volume 2, he's got wonderful pictures, and he shows crocodiles in the fossil record with the dinosaurs, and he shows birds, fossil birds, in the rock layers with the dinosaurs, and it's like, okay, this completely blows out of the water, the whole evolutionary story, but how many people know this? And even when he has, like, here's a crocodile fossil, and then he shows a living crocodile, scientists actually give them different scientific classifications when you look at them, and you can say, these are recognizably the same organism. Why would you bother to give it a different scientific classification unless you're trying to paint a different picture than saying this kind of organism has remained the same for all these years, whether you believe it's only a few thousand years or hundreds of millions of years. They're still reproducing after their own kind. And here it is in the fossil record. Here it is as a living specimen. And notice, they're recognizably the same. Why would you give the fossil a different scientific genus and species name than the living specimen when they're recognizably the same thing? Because there's an evolutionary bias. This is not good science. And I think people need to recognize it and call the bluff of those who are misleading people by textbooks and museum displays. And I think Dr. Carl Werner, with his series, is called Evolution, The Grand Experiment. And you can go to his website, evolutionthegrandexperiment.com, I believe it is, and that you can buy his books and DVDs there. And also, if you live in the St. Louis area, you can sometimes even get him to come out and speak to your it's called thegrandexperiment.com, thegrandexperiment.com, and you can have him come out and be a speaker at your event. And so good stuff available out there. And again, just helping our listeners learn to be discerning between what is fact and what is speculation, touted as though the scientists actually know more than they really do.
Sure, there's a big difference between deciphering and interpreting.
Absolutely.
I think that was the key word in one of the statements that we came across today. They used the term deciphering. I think I would use the word interpret.
Indeed. And speculate. There's a lot of speculation, and estimating. Well, there can be a legitimate kind of estimating too, but in this case, you need to be upfront and honest about what is fact and what is speculation. But what happens is they tell these stories and draw the pictures and make models that are displayed in textbooks and museums and convince people. And so we want to come back to the fact that the Bible is true. Don't let anybody get you to question the Bible. And it's all about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, our only Savior.
Indeed. Amen. Pastor Werth, thanks so much. God's blessings. And next week, being Holy Week and Good Friday, we'll reconvene Creation Club after that. So thanks so much.
2 weeks from today.
Yes, sir. God's blessings.
God bless you.